Luke chapter 6 this morning. Actions and reactions. Actions and reactions. I know the kids had a tremendous school or tremendous week of school, so we're going to have a little science lesson this morning. Actions and reactions. Some of you that are just really enthralled with science. Actions and reactions. Now, see, if I was in chapel with them on Monday morning, they would give me great feedback. They're all reserved and quiet right now, trying to impress the adults that are surrounding them. Actions and reactions. I want to look at this passage this morning and deal with our actions and our reactions. The Bible says, a little bit of a lengthy section of verses, but I believe it's wise to read through them, and I pray that this will be a help for each one. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 27. Verse number 27. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away my cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. And to that in 2019, especially in our day, we are mindful that God has been kind. If I were God and I had the powers of deity, over the course of the last couple of weeks, some individuals, and they would have been done. They probably would no longer be taking in oxygen. But God is kind. And for those that think what I just said was so hard to hear, I am very aware that God should and by all means would have been justified in doing the same to me. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. There have been some statements over the last week in which I just do not want to show mercy. I do not want to show kindness. I just cannot believe how evil some men and women have become in their thinking. Well, I don't know about you, but this is a tough section of verses. If I were to preach a message today on race relations, there are many that would say, oh, yes, amen, Pastor. That's the passage that we need in this matter of race relations. If I were to preach a message on the matter of the husband-wife relationship and to detail these things as it relates to the husband-wife relationship, no doubt there'd be many that would say, oh, yes, Pastor, that's where we need that message. If I were to detail the relationship between parent and child, there are many that would say, oh, yes, that's the area in which we need that message. It would be very simple for me to look down the row and to consider others and to say to myself, they sit in need of this message. But my friend, it is very interesting. In the very first section of words in this passage, the Bible says, but I say unto you, which hear. So you have a twofold responsibility here. You have the opportunity to hear the truth. You must listen. And for all that would walk away saying, oh, that was a great message, Pastor. I'm so glad that so-and-so was here today to hear it. The truth of the matter is that I need it. I need the nature of this passage to take root in my life. Actions and reactions. Let's pray and ask God's direction in the message. Lord, thank you for giving us this section of verses, and at times, from a human perspective, we would have to throw our hands up and say, this is impossible. But we know from the Word of God that while things are with man impossible, all things are possible with God. And so I pray that you would direct us as we break down these verses and consider our actions and our reactions. Lord, direct my thoughts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. What are the lessons from this passage? Well, I mentioned science a little bit ago, and I go to the matter of the laws of motion. And maybe some of you still have memorized Newton's third law of motion. The third law means that all forces are interactions between different bodies or different regions within one body, and thus that there is no such thing as a force that is not accompanied by an equal and opposite force. Therefore, the force exerted by body A on body B is called the action. And the force exerted by body B on body A is called the reaction. This law is sometimes referred to as the action-reaction law. The action and the reaction are simultaneous. And it does not matter which is called the action and which is called reaction. Both parts or both forces are part of a single interaction, and neither force exists without the other. Aren't you so blessed by that? Oh, Pastor, that just stirs me. And the kids say this morning, thank you for that lesson, Pastor. We can forego science all week. Maybe not. Life is made up of actions and reactions. So in my life as a kid growing up, I had actions and reactions from my parents. Most often I would act and they would react. And then I would change my actions. I had a brother and a sister. And so there were times where I would act against my brother and sister, and my brother or sister would then react to what I'm doing. I have actions and reactions now with a spouse. We went through the courtship phase. We went through the engagement phase. And now, by the grace of God, we are in the marriage stage. And for every action, my wife has a reaction. Most of those actions and reactions occur on 495. My wife, in moving here, wishes that she would have one of those driver's ed cars. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's where the sidecar has its own brake. Because more often than not, I'm not paying attention. I don't know why they make the most comfortable chair in all the world the driver's seat. Why is that? Say, Pastor, do you make her nervous? That's not even doing it justice. There's an action. There's a reaction. We have two sons. There have been many actions that we have had as parents, and they've had reactions. Life is full of this. You cannot go anywhere, but there aren't actions and reactions. I want to make a statement right now, and I want you, if you're in the habit of taking notes, to write it down. If you're not in the habit of taking notes, but you would at least write down this one statement, and I'll say it at the beginning, and I'll say it at the end. I say it often. Are you ready for this? Here we go. I cannot control the actions and reactions of others, but by God's grace, I am responsible for controlling my actions and my reactions. I cannot control the actions and reactions of my spouse. I cannot control the actions and reactions of my sons. I cannot control the actions and reactions of our staff members. I cannot control the actions and reactions of people on 495 and on 66 and on 95 and in your neighborhood. You cannot control the actions and reactions of others, but by God's grace. And that is a key phrase. Do not leave that out. You are commanded to control your actions and your reactions. The Old Testament seems to point us in the direction of the natural action and reaction. Let me read to you the verses there. In Exodus chapter 21, verses 23 to 25, the Bible says, "And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe." That's the natural course of action and reaction. Hey, you took this, so I'm going to take this. You did this, so I'm going to do this. But when we come to Matthew chapter 5, if you will remember that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, Jesus made this statement over and over again, and he said this, "Ye have heard," making reference all the way back to the Old Testament. And he says in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 to 48, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also." And to that, all of us have to say, "Lord, that is not possible." And we'd have to concur with Almighty God, yes, it's not possible. There's just no way that it is in my nature to respond in the correct way. In any given week, someone will say something to you that just catches you broadside. This week it happened to me in a place of commerce. And I was participating in an action which I've done many times. And every other time it's been no problem. But on this occasion, the person that I'm working with in the place of commerce has a problem with what I have always done. And they said to me these words, "You can't do that." What is my first reaction? "What do you mean I can't do that? I've done this all the time. I've done it many times. This has been the pattern. This happens over and over again." And I mean, it just is right there. Somehow the flesh is much more quick to speak than my spirit. And it is ready to respond. And I was just taken back. I'm like, "Here, let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this." "No, you can't do that." "What do you mean I can't do that?" "Oh, no, you didn't." You know, that's kind of what you're thinking. "You did not just tell me that I can't do this." And here's the troubling spot. Whenever I'm in those positions, inevitably, if I've responded wrong, someone walks in the door of that place of commerce and does this. "Hi, Pastor!" "Thanks. Thanks a lot." "You're not helping." "Yes, that's right. That's from the Brotherhood Church of the first people that ever went to ministry. Yes, I'm the pastor there at that church, you know." I've always thought I would speed in our church van if we didn't have the sign on the side of our van. Hence, there's no sign on the side of our van. All right, no. So with all these things in mind, actions and reactions, how do I do right by my fellow man and by Almighty God? Well, we're going to take this in reverse because that's how it's given to us here. The first section of verses gives us reactions. How are we to react based upon what the people have done to us? So let's look at those first three verses, verses 27 to 29. Here are the reactions. This is how I'm supposed to react. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Christ is calling for behavior that is far beyond the normal. Okay, let's talk there at the first spot, okay? And again, I cannot give you all the arenas of your life in which this applies, but I want you to apply this to all the arenas of your life. Say, oh, I've got enemies, Pastor. And you begin to detail the nature. Well, this is exactly what God says. He says for us to love our enemies. Boy, we can go a lot of ways with that. Love your enemies. The second thing, do good to them which hate you. What is your response to those that hate you and that hate all that you believe in and stand for? Man, I've got some really choice words, and I'm telling you, they would be effective if I just said them. I said to our Sunday school class this morning, I'm really facing a huge, huge desire to become a headline news preacher, because I've got a few headlines that I'd like to speak about. I mean, there's some things that trouble me, and they trouble me big time. I know that's not the best way for us to learn Scripture, is just by pulling from the headlines. But when you come to passages like this, have there been people that have definitely demonstrated in their words and in their actions that they hate Bible-believing Christians? Yes. Look at the next one. Bless them that curse you. My wife and I were waiting on someone else to get into our vehicle and another car. I thought I was more than out of the way. I thought they had plenty of room, but they were backing out of their spot. I gave them plenty of room. We were waiting in a location. It was in proximity to the one backing out. I thought they had plenty of room. But as the person backed out, she looked straight at us and just blessed me. Oh, did she bless me? She cursed pretty good. What do you respond with? Do I get out of the car? Do I slam my car? Do I go up to her and say, ma'am, here's a track, you need it? How do I respond? Look at the next one. The Bible says that I'm to pray for them. Let me just enter the arena of politics. Do you know it's my pattern to pray for those that are of the political mindset that I have? Lord, give them strength. Help them to fight the good fight. Help them to stay the course. Do you know what I rarely pray for? The salvation of the people that are not in my political arena. Why? Because that's my flesh. But in truth, I know that we have a number of Bible-believing Christians that serve in our Congress. Both male and female, we have a great number of them that know Christ as their Savior. And yes, I want to spend time for praying for them, but in truth, in all eternity, it is not going to matter what political party you're in. It's going to matter whether or not you knew Jesus Christ as your Savior. And so often I mourn and weep over their political stand, but how often do I really mourn and weep over the fact that the greater issue is that they're on their way to hell without Jesus Christ? Do I pray for them? Do I turn the other cheek? Now, someone would say, oh, see, this is what we're supposed to do, Pastor. We're supposed to turn the other cheek. And so if the criminal element comes into our house and they want to rob us, we should just be pacifists and we should never defend ourselves or defend our life or anything like this. I think the best demonstration of that is what that dear Amish man said is, sir, I mean thee no harm, but thou art standing where I am about to shoot. This is not talking about the criminal element. So I'm just going to lay over and be a pacifist and let the criminal element take my wife's life or my boy's life. No, I'm a fan. I am a super backer of those that will defend life and liberty. I'm not talking about the criminal element. Hey, you shot me. That's great. Let me turn the other cheek. Why don't you shoot my wife as well? No, that's not what the Bible's saying. Not speaking about the criminal element nature of things, but when I'm interacting with someone and I know that they're in opposition, I'm gracious in the way that I respond. Don't you notice with me that so many more things are said in social media than people would ever say face to face? They will let their thumbs say things that they would never say face to face. Can I remind you of one significant verse that I think is in the Bible? And it probably would have been a great starting point for the State of the Union address, no matter who was giving it. Proverbs 15 and verse number 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Do you know why we see so much anger back and forth? It's because no one ever responds with the soft answer. And the Bible says, I'm to turn the other cheek. I'm to give the extra coat. What can I do to demonstrate in light of their reaction to me? What can I do in my action or in my reaction to what they've done to me? Well, there's the reactions. But now let's go to our actions, and this is kind of where we have this as our starting point, verses 30 to 36. First of all, the Bible highlights for me as a believer, biblical generosity. Look what the Bible says in verse number 30. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Do you have within your heart an attitude of biblical giving? When you watch A Christmas Carol, are you the most endeared to Scrooge? Scrooge did it right! He saved everything for himself. Well, I need to have a spirit, an attitude of giving. I need to have that desire to give to others as they have need. Is that in your nature? You see a need and you're seeking to reach out and meet that need. Biblical generosity. God loveth a cheerful giver. It's not one who's giving it grudgingly. Put it in the offering plate. Just keep it. Just keep it. Because God loveth a cheerful giver. Hey, it's the Lord's anyway. I'm willing to give it to Him. Then we move on from biblical generosity, where the Bible says give to every man, to that probably that famous statement where people have come up with this golden rule. Here it is. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. A biblical spirit of generosity, and then we come to what is the proverbial golden rule, the most famous of the Lord's sayings, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And this applies to every arena of life except for brothers and sisters. They have a pass. My mother said to me all the time, now Todd, you need to treat your sister as you would want her to treat you. I just don't see that in the scriptures. I've looked and looked. Can I take care of my spouse? Can I take care of my children? Can I treat them as I would desire for them to treat me? Oh, but Pastor, they don't treat me that way. That's the whole problem. No, the whole problem is that you are not treating them as God would have you to treat them. That's where it starts. That's where it starts. It starts with my response. Again, if I was able to give the State of the Union address, wouldn't that be awesome? I do have to say this. I received several texts this week, folks asking me if I was in line for the future governorship of Virginia. And I did tell them that our yearbooks were always edited, so I might still be in line, you know, as it looks today. Isn't this crazy? If I could give a State of the Union and we walked down through these actions and reactions and we said to everybody on both sides of the aisle, why don't you just treat them as you would like to be treated? Why don't we just act in a right way? But so often, folks, what is the attitude? The attitude is, I don't care what you're going to do. I'm going to humiliate you. I'm going to cause your life to be miserable. I'm going to bring you to your wit's end. I'm going to drive you to insanity. I'm going to do all these things instead of treating them as I would desire to be treated. Number one, biblical generosity. My actions. Number two, of course, the familiar golden rule. Number three, what does the Bible say as we move on? The Bible says, if ye love them which love you, what thank give ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank give ye? For sinners also do even the same. So here it is, biblical generosity. It's the golden rule, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. It is also biblical goodness. In the book of Amos, one of the minor prophets, there's a tremendous section there in Amos where Amos is preaching against the Israelites' wickedness. And then he says to them, this is what's necessary for you to get right. He says, first of all, seek the Lord. But then he says secondarily in verses 14 and 15 of Amos chapter 5, seek good and not evil that ye may live. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23. So much of this is detailed there in those fruits of the Spirit, but the Bible says goodness. I want to be good to other people. Not because it is going to assist me into getting into heaven, but because it's the right thing to do. I want to be good and kind to others. And then notice in the latter part of these verses, we find a fourth thing. The generosity, the golden rule, the goodness. But the fourth one is that of godliness. Look what the Bible says in verse number 35. And by the way, plug into this verse the very nature of your salvation. But love ye your enemies. That's what Christ did when he loved you. Herein is love, not that we loved him, but that he loved us. Do you understand that Jesus died for his enemies, that they might be converted? I'll say more about that in just a moment. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. We've mentioned this on a Wednesday night in days past. There are communicable attributes of Almighty God and there are incommunicable attributes of Almighty God. In other words, there are things that God has that I will never have. I will never be all-knowing. I'll never be all-present. I'll never be all powerful. They're the incommunicable attributes of God. But there are communicable attributes of God. And my friend, we are to demonstrate those as often as we possibly can. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. All of those are the attributes of Almighty God. And we can show those forth. And so the Bible says here in the passage that I am to reflect Almighty God. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. This was Jesus' way. He loved Judas as much as he loved John. He loved Pilate as much as he loved Peter. He loved Annas, the high priest, as much as he loved Andrew. He loved the man who plowed his back with that terrible scourge. He died for the man who crowned him with thorns and prayed for those who nailed him to the tree. This is what Jesus did as Almighty God. Now, how will you and I respond? Actions and reactions. My wife acts. How do I react? My boys act. How do I react? Politicians act. How do I react? My neighbors act. How do I react? That guy in the car next to me acts. How do I react? Go through every arena of life, my friend, and you come back to these nine verses and say, Lord Jesus, this is impossible. And he says, yes, in your strength, it is impossible. But with me, all things are possible. So there was a time that I drove down 66 just waiting for somebody to cut me off. And now I drive down 66 listening to the right kind of music and says, hey, no problem, come on in. You came in from a tough day at work and found out that instead of pot roast and potatoes and carrots coming out of the crock pot, your wife has had the gall to fix you a tuna fish sandwich. And you walk in that night and you've had it. Her action might be tuna fish, but buddy, she's going to hear it. You know, these nine verses cover how races get along. As a believer, I'm to have no prejudice in me. I'm not to look at one or another and say, hey, you go here because you're of this race, and you go here because you're of this race. As a believer, I recognize that we're all the children of Noah. You see, the further you get away from the scriptures and the further you get away from scriptural truth, the more that you will find hatred in how God has made us all different. Actions and reactions. We go back to our statement one more time. Are you ready? If you did not write it down the first time, please write it down now. I cannot control the actions of reactions of others. I can't do it. I say to adults all the time, you're an adult. I can't control your actions and your reactions. Now, when my boys were 2 and 3 and 4 years old, I could control their actions and their reactions. I was just bigger. I had dad size. I was just bigger. But you know, when you're dealing with adults, I cannot control your actions and reactions. The time has come now that I look up at both of my boys. I still have a little bit of the dad weight. But they're reaching that point where I cannot control their actions and their reactions. But listen to this. By God's grace, you are to control your actions and reactions. There's a certain expectation of what a reaction will look like because of the laws of motion. And if we were sitting in a science class, we'd all say, oh yes, well, when that acts, there's going to be this reaction, and we can see how this all plays out. There's a certain expectation of what the reaction will be when people act out against us. But here's the point. In biblical terms, we are to have such a different reaction from what the expectation of the world would be that they can only say one thing: that was not natural. And to that, we're able to say, you're right. It is supernatural. It is God working in us that we might reflect Him. So you tell me this morning, how are your actions? Well, Pastor, some of them aren't so good. Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. How are your reactions? Well, Pastor, they're not so good. I mean, I'm kind of that guy that's on 66 that's just waiting for somebody to cut me off. Well, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It is not natural, but my friend, it can be supernatural in the way that God works through you. Let's pray.